KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
KJAN News is brought to you this morning by Cass Health.
And at 8:07, we have partly cloudy skies in Atlantic and 37 degrees. We look for partly cloudy skies to continue with a high around 60, winds southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. New data released by the Iowa Department of Public Health on Friday shows an increase in positive COVID-19 tests, but a continued decline in hospitalizations. IDPH data shows 6,665 positive virus tests in the last 7 days, up from 6,485 at the last report on Wednesday. That brings the total number of positive tests to 517,544 since the beginning of the pandemic. Iowa's 14-day positivity rate dropped slightly from 8.3 to 8.2%. There were 526 patients hospitalized with COVID in Iowa, down from 557 on Wednesday. The number of patients listed in intensive care dropped from 142 to 138. Of those hospitalized with COVID-19, IDPH says 72.1% are not vaccinated, while 82.6% of those listed in intensive care with COVID-19 are also unvaccinated. The number of Iowa long-term care facilities reporting a virus outbreak increased from 25 on Wednesday to 29 as of Friday. There have been over 3.6 million vaccine doses administered in Iowa, with 67.3% of those 18 and older fully vaccinized. Of those 12 and older, 69.6% of Iowans have had at least one vaccine dose. The IDPH releases new COVID-19 data every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Well, the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, has approved the use of booster doses of the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines. Pfizer booster doses were approved for use last month. Additionally, the CDC's recommendation now allow for mix-and-match dosing in booster doses only. These approvals and recommendations became effective immediately. The Iowa Department of Public Health said for individuals who received a Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, the following groups are eligible for a booster shot at 6 months or more after their initial series: persons 65 and older, those 18 and older who reside in a long-term care setting, 18 years and older who have underlying medical conditions, and 18 years and older who work or live in high-risk settings. The IDPH says anyone above the age of 18 who received a single-dose Johnson & Johnson primary series one dose can receive a COVID-19 booster dose at least 2 months after completing the primary series. J&J vaccine does not have an eligibility criteria for the booster dose. Earlier this week, the Food and Drug Administration amended the emergency use authorizations for COVID-19 vaccines to allow for each use of the available COVID-19 vaccines as a mix-and-match booster dose in eligible individuals following completion of primary vaccination with a different available COVID-19 vaccine. The CDC's recommendations now allow for this type of mix-and-match dosing for booster shots. Mix-and-match dosing may be considered for the booster dose only. Iowans with questions about which booster dose is right for them should consult with their health care provider. The vaccine is the best tool they have to keep themselves and their families healthy and to prevent severe illness, hospitalization, and death from COVID-19, according to the IDPH. You can find a COVID vaccine provider through a link in the same story on the news page. And officials say as flu season approaches, IDPH is urging all Iowans to get flu vaccine. By getting vaccinated for both influenza and COVID-19, authorities say we can prevent avoidable hospitalizations and help preserve health care resources for other needs, including illnesses, injuries, and emergencies. Anyone with questions about either vaccine should reach out to their health care provider. Well, the director of the Atlantic Public Library presented her annual report to the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening. Michelle Anderson said residents of the county have saved thousands of dollars over the past fiscal year by using services and materials the library provides, most of it free of charge. Anderson spoke first about where the sources of funding come from.
Almost 90% of our funding comes from the city. We get just over 5% from county and contracting cities. Our contracting cities are Marnie and Wyota, and they pay us a fee so that we serve their residents as well. Then our next largest revenue is non-governmental funding, like grants, private donations, fees, and fines. We do get a sliver of support from the state. It's usually under $3,000 a year. And we do have a little bit of federal income because we participate in the E-rate program, which reimburses up to 80% of our internet costs.
The largest part of their budget, she said, went to paying their staff. She said 11% was used to purchase physical pieces for the library's collection of materials, nearly 4% for the digital collection. The rest is used for other purposes, such as building maintenance, software, utilities, and so on. The total expenditures amounted to just under $400,000. Anderson said the use of the physical collection, referring to materials that are checked out, amounts to about two-thirds of what it was pre-COVID. And she said if community members had to purchase their own use of items such as the meeting room space, internet service, and other services, it would easily cost them almost $62,000. The library, she says, also offered programs adjusted to deal with COVID-19 protocols.
We definitely adjusted how we structured many of our programs. We sent take-home kits that we would have normally offered as programs that people could pick up and take home. We held events like escape rooms where people signed up for a specific time to come in small groups. We had drop-in programs where people could come over a longer period of time so that crowds would be spaced out. And of course, we did have some traditional programs, but we even moved some of those outside.
She said if participants in those programs had to buy tickets or supplies for the programs that they offer without charge at the library, the persons would have easily spent over $41,000. The Atlantic Public Library is just one of 3,500 Carnegie libraries built or funded across the U.S. through the philanthropy of Andrew Carnegie, a Scottish-American businessman. That is a check of our news on KJAN.
KJAN News has been brought to you this morning by Cass Health.